Welcome back to Grits to Glam, episode 20. I don't even know. And we have a nice and...
yes.
Welcome back to Grits to Glam. And today we are going to be having a guest here for y'all. Her name is Miss Sally Dar Bug, also known Sally Dar Griffin, SDG.
SDG Knits.
Yes, Knitting Queen. Like, lots of different variations, but, you know, we call her Sally Dar Bug, so... Mm-hmm. If y'all hear us calling her Sally Bug, that's probably why. But hey, welcome.
Thank you for having me. This is so great.
Well, it feels just very fitting that we're having you on a knitting club evening.
Yes.
Really like taking it all in, getting those vibes ready. You know, I personally don't knit, which I've said on the podcast before. But
I'm actually shocked you've never even like attempted
I know.
Once.
I mean,
not even once.
It is something that I don't think I have the patience for it. Like, I think I see how you guys do it and... You know, I'd be asking for help every 2 seconds. So it's in the best for all of our friendships that I don't knit.
Well, let me just tell you, it took me about 2 months to even like knit like an ugly ass sweater or scarf.
That's almost not ugly.
Yes, they were.
It's charm. It's charm.
Yes, they were. Somebody commented on Brooke's TikTok. Well, actually, never mind. I don't want to say that. Because it's about someone I don't want to talk about.
Damn.
Fuck.
Shit.
Well, it's a person we shouldn't talk about.
They don't deserve our attention.
No, so I don't want to talk about him.
Right, right. Well, okay. I think even when like knitting is bad, I think it's charming. That's what I tell myself when I make mistakes.
That's yours are actually like...
when she makes mistakes on her like... Right. On something like this.
Yes, I am wearing this in honor of Taylor Swift. It says Karma. I made it for, a company that we're not going to shout out because they're not paying you. So why would I? It's Credit Karma.
Right.
I'm just going to go and say I made it for an ad, but now it doubles as just like Taylor Swift.
It really works.
When did you make that?
A few months ago. I don't know.
So you knew?
Yeah. Well, I made it because I knew it would double as a Taylor Swift fest because I do identify as a Swiftie and Karma.
So you knew there was going to be a song called Karma?
There's like a lot of, didn't know there was going to be necessarily a song called Karma. There used to be all of these theories about how Karma was an album that she had written in 2016, but after the whole Kim Kanye thing, she decided not to release it. It's all theories.
Okay. So, I do remember that. Right. Then that's when Reputation came out, right?
Right. It came out because she had released albums like every 2 years, basically since the beginning of her career. And then 2016, she skipped over 2016 and went to 2017. So people were like, there was something in 2016 she never released. Whatever. So people called the album Karma.
Okay.
And then when she was announcing her song titles with like the bingo thing, she said a song was named Karma. So Swifties like freaked out because they were like,
That's when I knew we were getting Reputation. And I'm a Reputation. That was my Swiftie alive. That's my first time where I was really like, I'm in this shit for the long run. Mm-hmm. And then when I went to, I give Sally Dar shit, she didn't go to the Reputation tour.
That's fine.
Great tour.
Amazing show I've ever seen in my entire life. It's on Netflix still, so if you haven't seen it.
I rewatch it like so many times.
I mean, the energy in that place, and I look back at my stories, I am screaming like a child.
Right.
Like, I fit the demographic perfectly. Like, I'm surprised I didn't wet myself. I'm sure in the moment I did, but.
My first Taylor Swift concert was a Fearless tour.
Me too.
And I have a photo. We all went in a limo. And I was wearing a Kavu bag.
Uh-huh.
I thought I looked
Christ, not the Kavu bag.
I'm going to have to find. I think I was wearing like a tank top and jeans or something. I'm going to have to find the photo, but. Great concert.
It was great.
I was 15 and no, I was not.
When you're 15.
I might have been 15, but freshman year that album came out, which was great. So anyways.
That was the first and last time I've seen her. I haven't seen her like in person ever
since. Sick.
I know.
Well, we get to go to the tour this time.
I know. I'm like really scared for the prices.
It's like already a bloodbath for Harry. It's like Styles getting tickets. And like for this situation, I feel like it's going to be even harder. She's having less show. Like,
yeah, she's not going to have a 15 night like residency like Harry Styles is. Like it's going to be a...
Well, she'll hopefully do she one stadium and it's like 100K people.
Just I don't know. I can't think. I'm just like happy she hasn't announced it yet, even though she's kind of like let on that she will, because I just like can't take the anxiety. Like I just don't want to think about it.
I've got to think about it. But I hate, like, I'm not the person that gets all the points and stuff that like gets you the pre-sale codes.
Right.
Like
Which
I only have the Amex
one. I hope
one.
She does that because she did that for Reputation.
Right. Well, I still have so much memorabilia. I just buy it at the concert.
So for the tours, did you just like, were there, was it just you didn't, why didn't you go?
It's a good question. Reputation.
I mean, I know it's like expensive and you, I'm not meaning in that way, but
well, she's
I feel like
loaded.
No, but I feel like if you were like
that's not a worry at all.
I mean, Was it because you weren't closed? Well, no, you were in New Orleans.
Right. Reputation, full transparency. I took a while to get into that album. And then I did, like, over Christmas, whatever year that was, I got really into Endgame and Delicate. I used to play on fucking repeat going to my workout class every morning. So I got into it eventually, but then I didn't have any friends. So I didn't really go to I ate lunch alone, like, throughout my whole life, even when I had friends.
Darbar.
But Reputation, I was like, first of all, none of my friends liked Taylor Swift that I had. And then I didn't really have as many friends towards the end of college. So I was like, I don't have anyone to go with. So
Reputation was your album.
I got it. Yeah, because I... Not that we need to talk about this, but I, like, had a hard time with friends, like, fall senior year.
And then that December
I got really into it, and I was like, yeah, like,
fuck all of you. Yeah.
Like, they think they know me, they don't. Whatever. Yeah. So that's kind of why. The other tours, I don't really know. Like, honestly, I say this to, like, Megan and Sarah. I just, like, didn't realize growing up that you could, like, go to concerts, which sounds so stupid, because all of the concerts I ever been to was, like, with my family. Like, and then I just never went to concert. I went to, like, one concert in high school because everyone else was going. So it was, like, a thing the whole high school, like, went to together.
Right.
And then college, I saw John Mayer, and, like, that's it. Like, I didn't know you could go to concerts, which sounds so stupid.
I've been to a few concerts by myself.
That's good.
It's fun. Olivia Rodrigo by myself was, like, one of my top. I also went to Tori Kelly by myself in Atlanta, and that was really fun. But it was just so weird, like, because then people just look at you and they're like, fucking loser. And I'm like, I'm having a blast. I'd rather not speak with anyone or have to deal with anyone anyway.
Which is weird that I didn't even have that thought process, because I would do so many things on my own. Like, I would, like, eat at the cafeteria alone.
But you, like grew up going to concerts with your family, and so you just...
Yeah, I don't know. It sounds so stupid. I just, like, didn't think it was, like, an option. I didn't think
it's
about doing
stupid,
that.
But I'm just glad that you know that you can go to this right. tour, you know?
Yeah. We're going to be taking a fucking party bus, like, blasting this shit up. Like, we have to go.
I'm so excited. I have other friends that, like, openly like Taylor Swift. Also, because when Reputation was happening, like, so many people were, like, afraid to say that they liked her.
Right.
So it was, like,
it was
no
either
one,
you could pick one or the other of, like,
like, no one was even like, oh, yeah, I'll just go. I'm not the big, like, you can't even be lukewarm about her. Like, yeah. I don't know. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's why.
Okay.
But, you know what? Having not as many friends senior year, that's when I started posting on YouTube for the first time.
And we are so grateful.
Everything happens for a reason.
I had no friends, so I was like, well, I guess I'll talk to a camera.
I told Miss Sally Darbug I am so grateful for her YouTube channel, and I literally yelled at her for months, like, why the fuck are you not posting? Like, where are you? And she's posting again. She's back, people.
Yeah.
You're so talented with it, too. Like, obviously, you're interesting, but the way you, like... I don't know.
Wait, before we get even more into the episode, our YouTube subscribers, and then we'll introduce Sally Dar, actually. But everyone go subscribe to Sally Dar. Yes. She's so close to 10K, right?
Yeah, I'm like 70-ish away.
I know that we have enough to...
Rally the troops and get your fucking asses up and go over there and subscribe to Sally Dar. It's the least we could do for all the shit I've probably put you through.
Right.
Year and a half I've lived here.
Mm-hmm. It's taken, like, 2018 was when I graduated college when I started posting. So it's only taken about 4 or so years to almost hit 10K. So
now you're consistent. So
you deserve every single one of them.
That's really
kind. So good.
It's fun. I like YouTube more than TikTok. I have beef with TikTok these days.
Yeah. And you're doing lots on YouTube Shorts right now, right?
I don't understand YouTube Shorts. It's really interesting. The algorithm doesn't make sense. Like, you can post something that's stupid, like, not funny, like, whatever, and you can get, like, 5 subscribers, but then those subscribers don't translate to, like, long-form content. So, like, just because someone subscribes to you in YouTube Shorts doesn't mean they're going to watch a vlog. So there's, like, a lot of TikTokers I follow on YouTube that, like, have, like, 500K subscribers or 1 million subscribers, but then they'll post a long-form video, and they'll get, like, the same views that I have, which is, like,
content
2000.
Or quality... What am I trying to say?
Well, like...
quantity over quality over quantity.
Right. And also, like, engagement over, like, subscribers.
Yes.
Because it's, like, followers don't mean anything if you're not getting the likes. But I don't know. So YouTube Shorts is weird because I'm also, like, I'm posting, but then I also don't want subscribers from it because I'm, like, no, I want subscribers that want to watch my vlogs. I don't really...
Right. Yeah. You don't want to just,
like... TikTok, too, because it's, like... A lot of those people don't even, like, translate over to, like, Instagram. But, like, then when they see your stuff, they're like, oh, love this person.
Right. Well, that was, like, when we went to the Chrissy Teigen food truck. We saw Chrissy Bug yesterday.
Met Chrissy Tracy Bug, yes. And John Bug.
And John Bug. And there was that girl that came up to me, and she was like, oh my God, I work at Glossier. You should come in. Like, I love your TikToks. And I was like, oh, like, what's your name? And her name was like, I don't know. Let's say her name was Hermione. Great name. She was like, not that. But she was like, oh, Hermione. And then she goes, what's your name? And I was like, you came up to me.
What?
Not that I care if you like know who I am, but it was also just so weird. She was like, please come into Glossier. I love your videos. And she was like, wait, what's your name? I was like,
wait, well, yeah,
that's
like,
fucking weird.
Okay. Do you follow me? I don't know what's happening.
People just know your face.
I know.
Like,
that's why I was like, yeah, more of a TikTok face, less of a name.
Like, yeah,
it's like, kind of cool. It's like a traditional like celebrity right. kind of vibe. So,
well, it's also like people. There's so many people that just scroll and recognize you, but they don't follow anyone, which right. is right. so chaotic. I could never do that. Like, I'm afraid I'll lose people if I don't subscribe.
Oh yeah, I don't follow people, and I also don't. That's a lot crazy. Of people that I love seeing on TikTok. I don't really want to see their Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I feel like it's just, they're totally different people on Instagram than they are TikTok.
Yeah. The people that, like, have their followers, like, spread out over all platforms are, like, the most fascinating people to me. Like, I feel like mm-hmm. James Charles is a really good example. Like, he has, like, even numbers, like, across the all board. Of them, I yeah. feel like. Whereas a lot of people are very skewed.
Yes.
But it's always, like, the people that are, like, huge that have that. Like, James Charles or Emma Chamberlain.
Right. It's, like, the people that were really big on Instagram that then came to TikTok versus yeah. TikTok to Instagram.
Yeah, but then you'll see some people on TikTok that have, like, 8 million, and then on Instagram they have, like, 100K.
Yeah.
Which is still a lot, but it's, like, this is so interesting.
It's so weird how yeah. it doesn't correlate.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Well, obviously, this is going to be a very fun podcast.
Hell
but
yes.
before we get a little bit more into it, why don't you just kind of tell us a little about who Sally Dar is, you mm-hmm. know, what your brand is?
It's a good question. Okay. Well, my name is Sally Dar.
Where
hi,
are you from?
How are you?
Yeah, so good nice to meet yeah. you guys.
Sally Dar is a double name, by the way.
Yes, oh
yes it's a double name, similar to like Mary Catherine.
Right, and my fiance. Matt does not really understand that your name
yeah,
is Sally.
Yeah, he doesn't, which you think that like I've known him for about a year now. You yeah, think he yeah, might yeah. catch on. He's still kind of learning, but you do a really good job of correcting him, which yes. is nice. But well, yeah, it's a double on. Name. Like Mary Catherine, Dar is just like a family name, so it throws people. Last name is Griffin. I go by Sally Dar. I will respond to Sally because I know it takes a while for people to get, but... And I don't ever like call people out on it. Like I wait for my friends to like
tell
the person.
I call people
person.
Out for you as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, because like, I just like get I just like whatever. I don't know. And I've dealt with it my whole life, so it's just like whatever. But I'm from Chattanooga, Tennessee.
Another Southerner.
Yes, we're also Southern in our friend group.
We're my New Orleans boss for you.
Yes, great.
Represent aww, college life.
Very sweet. Yeah.
I couldn't remember if you were from New Orleans or if you
that
were
happens
Tulane.
A lot.
But then I knew about like Chattanooga, like yeah. Tennessee kind of vibes.
People get so confused. A lot of people think I'm from New Orleans. One, because like so many of you our friends it. Here are from New Orleans.
Yeah.
And then... yeah, I went to college there. And then my family were Saints fans because my dad is from Louisiana. And then my mom has family in New Orleans. So it's like, if I wasn't living in Chattanooga, that's where we would live.
Right.
So it's like, and my sister was born there. Like, it's just, yeah. But
you have a lot of ties there.
A lot of ties, but don't live there. Which, you know, Chattanooga's much slower pace. Everyone that grows up in New Orleans starts things way sooner. So probably for the best.
Chattanooga's like the LA of the South. Which
so
is
true.
Yeah.
It's like the fourth biggest city in Tennessee. Up and coming. yeah, it's great. Yeah, so I'm from there. I went to boarding school in Connecticut. Only
that
mention that because
like,
it's like I think the only reason why I like do anything these days.
What was the boarding school again?
It's called Choate.
Rosemary Hall or whatever. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I like
was it all. It was all girls, right?
It was co-ed.
It's my dream.
It's like the most. Can I say? Isn't it like the most like elite and like famous like boarding school?
No.
Yes. Kind
no,
of.
No, it's not. Not at
in
all.
In the United States, are a lot of notable people have gone there.
Right,
notable.
But there are ones that are cooler. I think. I don't know.
Or I feel like I've heard that one a lot. Like my cousin right. was looking into boarding school and that was the one that she.
Yeah, it's a good one. But I
want to go to boarding school.
I know. That's the thing is that everyone wants to go to boarding school.
Well, I also in my eyes, I'm like any of them are like the coolest.
Right. I just wanted to go to one. I mean, I applied
when
to a few.
When did you go?
I was a new sophomore. Okay. But I mentioned it one because when I was on TK's podcast, she was like, you should talk about that more. I don't know why you're not talking about that because it is interesting to people. But it's more so like the reason why I do anything. Like the reason I like moved to LA, didn't know anyone. I like worked on a boat for a while, knew no one.
Right. Below deck, bitch.
Right. Like I've just like, done
we need
so
to talk
many
about that
things.
Also.
Posting online, like and not giving a shit about it. Like I just like do things like that. But I Which think is- it started with that.
Yeah. So what made you want to go to boarding school?
I read a book. about a girl that was like from the Midwest that went to a boarding school in Connecticut. And I was like really obsessed with these books, like since I was in seventh grade. And then freshman year of high school, I was at Buffalo Wild Wings with my parents over like Thanksgiving break. Yes. And my mom, a new book had like just come out in that series or something. And I was talking to my mom about it. And she's like, oh, is that based off like a real place? Which I had never Googled it before. I just never right. thought to Google it. Googled it, not based off anything. Looked at the author to see if she went to a school. I couldn't really find any information. But then I just started Googling like schools in Connecticut and Massachusetts. And then I just got really obsessed. Like I just like researched a shit ton. Like I knew so much about so many of these schools. I had never stepped foot in New England before. Like knew nothing about it. And I was very like angsty, like the South sucks, like all of these people that like are ignorant, like whatever. Like I thought it was just
your
angsty.
Reputation era.
Yeah. Right. Yes. So I was just very much like that was my angst coming out as I wanted to go to New England because I thought it was like the promised land for some reason. Right. I got there and I mean I enjoyed it. It was a great 3 years, but also like didn't want to stay in New England much longer. But yeah, so it was really just me reading books and then asking my parents, and then for some reason they agreed. And I was like, that's weird.
Nice. How fun though. Did you have a roommate?
I did. Yeah. Well, I had one roommate. My first roommate was like from Saudi Arabia. And there was like people from all over the world. Then junior year, my friend Ashley, who was from LA. And then senior year, I was a prefect, like Harry Potter, which is like an RA, essentially.
Oh, wow. That's either my goal. I feel like, and you've done so close to the second one. Number one, boarding school. Number two, the below deck life of it all.
Yes.
Like, and being, be a stewardess? Is that, or?
Yes, I was a third stewardess.
That is so fun.
Right.
Like, that is, but I always, I brought that up because I wanted to do semester at sea. I don't know if you got into the vlogs on YouTube of people vlogging their semester at sea. Yeah. And I'm also on the TikTok side of it too.
Uh-huh.
It is my favorite thing to watch. And I'm so jealous. And I love when they sob crying because they have to leave each other.
Oh, God.
It's really sweet.
Yeah, no, I never, because semester at sea was like an abroad thing, like a junior or senior year of college, right?
Right.
That's when people would do it.
Some people do. I think you can do programs. Yeah.
Oh, okay. I never went abroad when I was at Tulane because I just like didn't want to leave New Orleans.
Yeah,
I don't know. I just didn't want to leave. And I like there was nowhere that was like calling my name. And so I had a plan since junior year of Tulane to like work on a boat after school, which I got the idea from Below Deck. So I was like, that looks fun. Like, let me research it.
Okay, so you graduated boarding school, then you went to Tulane, and then Tulane, and now boat.
Yes, then boat. Yeah, I was like home for a few months. My mom was like, you need to go. Because I had taken classes. I had gone to Fort Lauderdale my senior year of college to like get certification classes. And then eventually moved there after I graduated and lived in these things called like crew houses, which are basically like hostels. But they're only like four people in the yachting industry. So I had to live in this crew house with like a lot of like South Africans, a lot of like Kiwis, and a few Americans. There's not that many Americans that like are in the yachting industry.
Really?
No, because I think like, I mean, I don't really.
Where was it based out of?
Yachting capital of like America is Fort Lauderdale. And then once I got a job, we were based out of Palm Beach, West Palm Beach.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
This is so fun. I need stories about this on your TikTok.
Right.
And boarding school.
The boat I worked on, I only worked on there for 6 months because the boat ended up selling, which I was thankful for because I was like, damn, like that sucks. Like we lost our jobs. But I was like so ready to get off because I hated it so much.
I thought you didn't like it.
Yeah. Had about and it was the kind of thing like I kind of knew as soon as I like started, I was like, this is gonna suck. But I couldn't I planned on it for so long that I had to do it.
Yeah.
I had already applied to grad school before
and
I got
like
a job.
Because I feel like just hearing you speak, I think it's something because you planned on it. You weren't going to like backtrack and be like, never mind, I'm not. Like you,
right.
I feel like you wanted to follow through on it.
But it sucked too because, so I went to Yellowstone with my family after I graduated Tulane and I fell in love with Yellowstone. And there's a lot of like young people that work in like national park like there, but also other national parks. So then I was like applying to work at a national park and I got a job at Yellowstone, but I was like literally already in Fort Lauderdale like taking the interview for Yellowstone as I was on the boat that I just accepted the job for. And I was like, I don't want to be here. I want to be in Yellowstone, but I couldn't. So going back, I wish I would have picked to work at a national park instead of on a boat.
The worst parts and some of the best parts, I guess.
The worst part I think is, I just like have a lot of beef with like the 0.00001% because I think because like people are so catered to, like, the more money you have, there's a lot of waste created, like, around, I'm gonna get really philosophical, there's a lot of waste created around, like, catering to, yeah, like, the very,
you're
very
so
wealthy.
Smart. I love it.
Right. Yes, sure. And so it's like, you know, if someone's like, I want a salad for lunch, they're not going to make a salad. They're not going to make your favorite salad. They're going to give you five options. They're going to give you sandwiches you might want to want. They're going to give you like five different types of cookies. And so my main beef with it was just like tons of food would get thrown away. So much waste created around it. That was like, it was just really eye-opening.
Just disgusting.
Yeah. And then also just, you know.
Were you treated okay?
Yeah. The thing is that like the boat that I worked on, the owners were like incredibly nice. Could not be nicer.
They're just out of touch with reality in a sense.
Yeah, but like I didn't even engage with them that often. It was more so just like the crew environment that I wasn't very fond of. Just like, you know, a lot of Trumpers. Yeah, just like me kind of arguing with like 40-year-old men. But I'm like, why are we having a debate? Like I'm literally 21 and like I'm sorry to say, like you don't know what you're talking about.
Right.
I would get so heated because like if you can't
and then
say
you're
stuff
stuck
like
but
that.
You're also stuck on this boat with these right. people. So like
yeah, and also it's like yeah.
And once
it
you
kind
of open that like
what was
door? I don't know.
We saw Triangle of Sadness, and that was right. really what was like.
I want to see that so badly.
Did
y'all
really
love it?
Good.
Yeah. I was like,
I've
getting
heard
PTSD.
Yeah, I heard it's amazing.
Like, when like some of the asks that they were making, like when she was asking the girl to like get in the hot tub with her and swim, I was like, oh my god, I can't imagine because that's like a real thing. Mm-hmm. Like it feels like, and just like that's probably the least amount of like stress that someone has put on a crew member,
right? Yeah, I think my favorite things about the boat is, like, in theory, it should be that I, like, went to a bunch of cool places. But some of the places that we went, I either didn't get off the boat because, like, we were working. Or we would have one day there, but then I was, like, with people that I didn't want to, like, be on vacation with. So it was, like, pointless to be in a cool spot where I'm, like, well, I don't like anyone I'm with.
Because you don't want that memory of the place to be right. with those people you want to go and
yeah.
be, like.
It's so kind of scary to go out alone, like, yeah. on, like, just in a
where
new
were
place.
Y'all going?
We were in the Caribbean.
Okay.
Like just a bunch of islands down there. But I think my actually, you know what my favorite thing was, is that you would see other yachts and like you could also see it like on the radar. There's like a website you can like literally look up
yes,
to see.
Yes.
And, yeah,
cousin,
and then also
my cousin showed me that before.
Yeah, it's cool. You, like any ship that exists. Oh yeah, probably same thing.
Celebrity
yes. But what's really fun is like you would see yachts and then I would like Google and read about them. So like for instance, you can see Tommy Hilfiger's yacht, which
did you
know
go
it's
to Mystique?
I don't think so.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but there are certain yachts that like you see. And, like, you can look up the name of the yacht, and then you can find the owner. Some yachts you can't find the owner, but, like, some are obvious. Like, Tommy Hilfiger, you see his. It has the logo on it. Clearly, all of the crew is wearing his stuff. You see Steve Jobs' yacht, which was then his ex-wife's,
Jesus.
Which looks so fucking insane. It's like Apple if it was a yacht that was, like, docked next to us for so long. I'm sure that whole boat is just, like, all, like, technology everywhere.
Yeah. Go ahead and sneak in on that.
Then there was, like, another boat that was, like, made out of completely, like, some weird material, like, carbon fiber or whatever. And then you just get to read about these boats. It's really interesting to see the yachts, Google the name. That was my favorite part.
Yeah.
Is that's that I so felt, fun. Like, very, because I love gossip and I love.
Yeah, you're like, okay,
yeah, I love
it.
Getting the tea.
You're, like,
here.
You're
yeah.
looking on Twitter and
yeah.
it's like, oh, you're not supposed to be on this yacht right now.
Right.
Ooh, let's see. Yeah.
That could
yeah.
be your source to, like, start a gossip girl for, like, your celebrities.
Right. Yeah. But I don't know. So I think that was my favorite part, was just being nosy or meeting other like crew people that they would tell stories about like boats that they used to work on and just like, oh, I had this owner that like did this and this.
Did you ever hook up with anybody that you met?
God, no.
Okay.
I think actually no, when I was like at the dock, so my job started on Halloween 2018 was when okay. I got my like first day. I think was
yeah,
Halloween
almost anniversary.
Yeah,
by
almost
the way.
Anniversary. And I think I went out for Halloween with like a few random people that I barely knew. And I do remember making out with a boy at a bar, but I could
hell
not
yes.
tell you. So if you count that,
yeah,
otherwise
you,
that
you,
was it.
Okay.
Everyone else was like
so
scary.
So I'm
me.
Guessing Below Deck kind of glorifies like the hot people or makes it.
But it's very accurate. Well, I was on an all American crew too, where it's like Below Deck.
Oh, so
you
didn't
get,
even. Oh, so the people you were. Living with were South African Kiwis that are Australian.
Yeah, the crew houses. It was like very,
but
then
on your crew, it was
right,
just,
it was
okay.
all American. Yeah,
I was confused. Okay, because when you were talking about Trump, and I was like, why do the people of Australia and right. South America care?
But then there were other boats that I worked on. There was something called day work where you can like work on a boat for like a day, like you know, kind of like something like TaskRabbit where you just
yeah.
kind of
yeah,
yeah, like that. So then I would like work with people on that in like different kind of boat, which that was fun because then you could see the inside of a boat, but then like you're never going to see it again.
Yeah,
right.
So that was cool. Like we went on some yacht, don't know who it was, but all I know was that it was a guy from Louisiana that owned it. And that was fucking cool.
Yeah.
Like to like see, like be nosy. I don't
gotta
know.
Get on a yacht like here shortly.
No, that's the thing like, is that so often one. Like Sarah is like, oh, I want to get on a boat. I'm like, I'm good.
Yeah.
No, I don't need to ever get on a boat again.
So you're not on Team Cruise, like if we go on a cruise?
No, I mean, I would go, but I just like don't. I land is so much better. Like you don't really, like we are meant to be on land.
Right.
As humans. Like there's a reason we evolved out of the water, you know?
Yeah.
Like we are meant to be on land. Yeah. Why the fuck are we trying to get back in the water?
It's fun.
Is it though?
Except for when you go too far out, then it's just spooky. And then my favorite videos, because I like to terrify myself, are the ones where
and then they go under. Yeah. And then it's
huge
like the scary,
thunderstorm
the
waves.
Scary music right. or whatever.
Oh,
the
God, it's frightening. Yes. Yeah.
But so that's kind of the boat experience.
So that's good that the owner sold it.
Yeah. So then I kind of like, I was like, oh, shucks. Meanwhile, there were people that had worked there for like probably over like 6 years that were like, what are we going to do? And I'm like, I don't know. This sucks.
Shit. Oh, my God.
Went home to Tennessee so fucking fast, like fled home.
Wait, so your family moved to Yellowstone? Wait.
No, we went on vacation there.
Oh, you went on vacation there.
Yeah, and I just like was in love with it.
Yeah.
But so, fled home to Tennessee.
Had to.
Before I even accepted that job, I had applied to grad schools because I knew I wanted to go to film school after I graduated Tulane, but it was already too late to apply. So I knew that was like the next thing I wanted to do after the boat. So I was treating the boat kind of as like a gap year because I didn't like do a gap year. I didn't, that was a gap year, I guess. I didn't go abroad is kind of why I wanted to do it. So then I got accepted while I was like on the boat, didn't tell a fucking soul. So I knew I was going to grad school. So I kind of went home, waited for that to start, and then road tripped out to LA.
Where did you do grad school out here?
I went to Loyola Marymount.
Okay.
Started fall 2019, did that first semester, came back after the holidays, and then the pandemic hit.
Yeah.
Yep. And then did you continue on with grad? You continued on when you were back in LA, right? Like virtually?
Yeah. So then I moved back to LA August 2020. And I did Zoom all that second year. It was a 3-year program. And then the third year I decided to take a job being a personal assistant to someone and dropped out. I had 1 year left and I was like, I can't fucking do this anymore.
I remember when I was like first meeting you, that was like, I think
we were in line for the Harry Potter thing. And I told you, I was like, I quit. I dropped out.
Yeah. And we had like just met. We're just like sharing like our job, like what
right.
our jobs
so
are
this
doing.
Is last October.
Yeah. And I remember because
did you just quit the job with being a personal assistant or did you just start it?
I had just quit it.
That's okay. Because I just remember being at Corny's place and we were talking about your old boss.
Yeah.
And I thought you had just quit because I remember you not being happy. Like,
right. So I accepted the job like beginning of August and then dropped out of grad school. And then I had quit that job 2 months later.
Okay. Okay. This is all making sense.
Not a problem at all in the slightest.
So,
we're not fucking worry about it.
Kind of forced my hand into be social media full time.
Yeah.
I was just it was interesting for me to meet all these new people and then to hear about you. Like we really connected like the first night.
Uh-huh.
You probably thought I was like batshit crazy because I was screaming happy Halloween to everyone.
Literally what's funny is you were so funny and like very you like crazy. But then also I remember talking to you in the line and being like, wow, he's like really like, which you are, but it's like, we don't. It was like, I thought it was a little bit more balanced. And now that I know you, it's like definitely more crazy and less like intense. We had such an intense conversation.
Right.
That
well,
when we
gotta,
first
like,
met.
Get in there and then you can
right,
like.
Right. And then pull back. Yeah. I guess that's why. Yeah. Well, we did have an intense conversation the other night. Yes. I'm fucking lying.
Yeah. You lied straight to your goddamn teeth.
Right.
What was I going to say? Oh yeah. We literally just randomly have like heart to heart. So we did the other night, we were like having a wine night and like supposed to be chill Friday night. And then Sally was like,
next thing you know, I'm
sorry for getting like really deep here. And I'm like, it's all good.
Well, I was in my own house. And normally if I'm somewhere else, then I don't drink as much. Cause I'll like, you know, just drive and park and then drive home. But I was in my own house. So I like wasn't caring cause I wasn't driving home. And so I was like, wait, why am I suddenly so drunk?
And then Courtney was trying to like get me to go out with her and like,
and you're like, I gotta go.
I'm literally like talking to Sally Darn, like, hey, like we're kind of in the middle of
something.
Oh,
so you went out.
Yes,
yeah,
and I went
like,
out.
Oh, that
you
that's
she's trying
but
to
I
like
knew
pull
he was
me
about to leave,
as,
so
like,
I felt bad. I was like, well, we can kind of pick
but
this
I
up,
love
maybe.
Deep talk. So yes. Like it was I was really a rock in the hard place.
Right.
But it was also weird for me meeting y'all, which we talked about on other guests, like because I knew y'all, like I knew of y'all and like everything, like your YouTube and everything like that. So it was really cool to like actually get to speak with everyone.
That's
so
nice. Well, we were like a fan of you from the first time we met you because we should go back and find the text that like me and Brooke sent after we met you because I think we were texting like Brooke and Sarah and we were like new best friend Tristan, like he's so like we should go back and read it because you just made such an impact that we were like,
I remember just being off my goddamn rocker and feeling like
it
I
was
just
so
like,
fun.
It was like high with emotions. Like it felt like
it was such
well, it made
night.
For you because you just moved here and it made for you like, oh, I made the right decision.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When I had to like, I was like, I made friends like fast, but it was such a scary time because I'm like, if you make,
you know, sometimes
a bad
you can make, you
impression.
Fooled us. You're like, right. I thought, I was like, well, everybody already knows him, obviously, but I guess he didn't know as many people as I thought.
I mean, I literally knew Corny and I met like Patrick and Alexa and a couple others like a couple days before.
That's crazy.
Like, and then right. Wow. Literally got, then just started. I think Patrick, the day he texted, like the day we did that, me and him were still getting to know each other too.
Yeah.
He still has you in his phone as Tristan, Patricia's roommate.
Literally. And I was like, are you ever going to fucking change that?
No, I saw the other day. It was like a few days ago. And
he, I know.
I was like, why is it still that?
I don't know. That's one thing about LA. It's like I moved here and I knew that I was like pretty social, pretty outgoing. Like I can talk to a brick wall. I can go to a party and like pretty much meet anyone and feel comfortable. Right. But then you move here and it's like everyone that moves here kind of not everyone, but pretty much, especially if you're like in social media, you tend to be like very social, very talkative. Mm-hmm. You move here and it's like you're up against like all of the people who were just like you from your hometown or from your high school. Like you thought you were the most social.
Yeah,
nope. You come here and you're like, shit,
you're
a
small fish in a big pond.
Yeah.
Like you yeah.
So like someone like you, I'm like, well, shit, I actually am not that yeah. like social. I lie.
But I do think our friend group is a good friend group in a sense of like,
they all balance each other out.
We're like, mm-hmm. y'all don't like the persona on your Instagram is the exact same as like in person in a way that like you don't hide behind your phone. I feel like there are people here that you meet that are like influencers or social media people and they're not as cool in person as they are
right.
on the internet, or they just are shyer and they don't know.
Yeah, I feel like the nature of being on the more comedy side of the internet, your personality comes across like as more accurate mm-hmm. because like you're talking to the camera, you have like the same, I don't know, the same like canter in your voice, whereas like lifestyle, which love them, not hating on them, but they do more like audios where you don't hear their voice or like you know, so yeah, where it's like we are the same because it's like you're already seeing it. We can't change our personality that much. Yeah.
I think the craziest thing is when someone is more reserved. Like Corny was a little bit more reserved for me. Like
then
when
you
were like very similar. Brooke was pretty similar, obviously mm-hmm. a little bit more reserved sometimes.
Mm-hmm. But Corny's definitely the most reserved.
Yeah, I would like say out of a lot of us, Corny maybe is a little bit more reserved than you would think.
But you like, I mean, I've always applauded you for being just open book. Like talking
probably a little too open sometimes.
The video of us making out, I'll post that as
the next day. Don't know why I posted that. I should take that down.
Yeah, the amount of times I've seen y'all make out is
weird.
It's normal. Well, it used to be you and Sarah, and now it's you and Sally Dar. Like, you it's just so cheat on all your girls, Tristan.
Listen.
Sexuality is a spectrum.
Love them. So, Sally Dar, I mean, I've loved sitting and getting down to talk to you. I want to hear from you. What?
I'm smiling. Sorry. I feel god awful.
I want to hear kind of like your next like goals into life. Like obviously right now you're on TikTok, YouTube, like getting more back into like filmmaking and then also knitting, but like, you know, do you want to do more into comedy? Like do you want to do any acting stuff or like filmmaking behind the camera? What's like Sally Dar's vision board?
Yeah. Okay. So when I first moved here, it was for film school. So my dream was like to be a director, writer, like Greta Gerwig, basically, but for Gen Z. That was the first goal. Mm-hmm. And then social media came along and like that was still always a goal. It's literally still my bio on Instagram as big time movie director. So I'd say like overarching goal is I would love to just one day write, direct movie, TV show.
Right.
I think my immediate goal is YouTube. I kind of want to go over to long form content because I'm kind of sick of TikTok. So that's like the more feasible immediate goal is to like build my YouTube, be consistent and like make videos I'm proud of on there. I tried stand up.
We went to your show. You were great.
That's kind. Yes. That's kind. And I, not to say I wouldn't do stand up again, but I think I tried it and it was like, I wasn't excited to like write the next 5 minutes, if that makes sense. And
right.
So it's kind of like,
why waste your time on that when it's something you're not even
right.
excited
not
about.
Like follow the money, but like follow what you're excited for. And I was never like excited to write the next 5 minutes. It was more so just bucket list. Okay, I tried that. Great. I would do it again, but it's not something I'm going to actively pursue. But I was happy that I tried it out. So I know. Because there are some people that like are so excited to wake up and write the next joke, and I just wasn't. More excited to wake up and knit, which is another long-term goal, is like one day I would love to have some form of a company that would – I don't know exactly what it would be. I don't know if it would be – there are certain companies that like sell yarn and sell patterns, like Tom Daly has one, for mm-hmm. instance. The diver.
Would you sell like yarn patterns and like needles and it's like a monthly thing?
Right.
Like
some companies
like
do that, but I think honestly.
Like a monthly book club?
I don't know. I think honestly, so I wouldn't really sell yarn. I think I would, I don't know. I personally would love to like employ a bunch of women to like hand knit my patterns and then sell them. Like, there are some like bigger fashion designers that sell other clothes, but they also sell sweaters that are like hand knit. Like, you can see videos of all these women. They knit so fucking fast. That would be like a dream.
So do you though. Like, you're
no, but you should see these women. They do this other technique. Like, I do like the basic technique.
Oh, there's the
this,
one where you like,
you hold the yarn in the other hand so you can go faster. I can't do it.
I got so into it when I was watching TikTok lives of people like. Right when Knitting Club started, I got on the Knitting Club TikTok like algorithm, and I was just watching people on live. Like,
it's
the
so,
way
it's
they
pretty
move.
Mesmerizing. Yeah. I was on the plane on the way back from Michigan the Sunday, and the guy in front of us was knitting something, and he lost his needle. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And couldn't find it the entire plane. It was under my bag the entire time, but right. I felt so happy. Then Matt was like, I'm a knitter. And then the flight attendant knits as well. And then the man in front knits as well.
Look
but he was like a black bamboo knit.
Oh. Knit,
like needle.
Okay.
And like, it looked like a straw.
Oh,
and
yeah.
So,
I've
but
never
I was,
seen black
but I was
ones.
Like, yes, I was so happy I found it.
That's funny.
I did feel kind of bad because I probably could have moved my bag.
Right. And he probably lost like hours of knitting.
Yeah. It'll never get back.
Yeah. I am one of those people that knits on a plane. But I don't know. So it's like, I would do some kind of company that like sells, this is also like 10, 20 years down the line, but like, I think I would just love to like, do you know, Hope McCauley is a good example. She's a designer. You would recognize the sweaters. They're like really, really chunky knit sweaters. She's a designer. I think she lives somewhere in Europe. But she obviously employs people to make these like iconic sweaters that like she wrote the patterns for. So I think I would do something more that direction. The shitty thing with that is that like, if you're employing people to hand knit, then you're paying the people to hand knit, which is obviously more ethical than like a machine or like whatever.
But the sweaters are so much.
The cost to pay the people, the cost of the yarn, the cost of the sweater itself. So then it's like, you know, handmade sweaters are so expensive, which sucks because then it's like, well, I want people to buy them. Even my sweaters that I've like sold a few, it's like, well, I have to at least make it like $250 to like
profitable,
otherwise it's not worth it, you
right.
know? So that's another long-term goal. I don't know. But in the meantime, it's really just YouTube and knitting.
It would be kind of funny if you did like a, something in stand up where you're like telling stories or jokes while you're knitting.
Oh.
And then by the end, you could have like one of the things that you're knitting could be a prop or like something like,
or do a YouTube video like that. Not even just stand up.
Yeah. I did one YouTube video of that shrug that I made. I did a YouTube video of just that.
The bolera.
Mm-hmm. I did a video of just all of that. So
love
I don't know
that one.
And I sell my pattern. I don't know. I think right now Brooke is gives me not advice on this, but we talk about it. It's like, there's so often people are telling you, especially in social media, they're like, what do you want to do next? Like, what's your next career move? Like, how are you going to get off the internet into like more traditional Hollywood? And Brooke is always like, what's wrong with just like staying put? Like,
right.
why can't Brooke just do her podcast and post on TikTok and Instagram? Like, why can't I just like do TikTok, YouTube, and knit? Like, what's wrong with that?
Right. And then like you know, if the next opportunity presents itself, yeah, you go for that.
Right.
But then it's just like over the
yeah.
next.
So it's like, I have aspirations, but like, I'm not trying to be like writing a script and pitching it and doing stand up on the weekends and also knitting and also making a YouTube. Cause like, I also can't do all of that.
No.
So.
And people don't even act like, I feel like I have a marketing job, but do social media on the side. And it's like, I feel like people, they don't like compare more, like marketing could go away. Like, people get rid of their marketing budgets all the time. Like, people never say like, oh, what's going to happen if like you lose like this or this?
Right.
It's like, only because it's social media. It's like, oh, it could go away in a heartbeat. Like,
right.
Anything could.
Right.
So like, just enjoy.
Yeah. I mean, I say that all the time to Sarah, and she's like, the thing is like, if it went away, like, you could easily get a consultant job for a company to like tell them how to put on a good event where influencers come, or like,
right.
you know, so it's
right.
the skills are, I don't know. It is,
they intertwine
it is
a little
scary,
bit.
But
you always have that one girl outside the Glossier store who doesn't know your name, but she
yeah.
knows your
Hermione.
Face.
So true.
Hermione.
So true. Hermione, my girl. Love her. My favorite fan.
She is such a sweetheart. Well, I also want to talk about, now that we're knitting, we had Sally Dar bring in some props, some of her favorite sweaters,
yes.
I guess, or your most exciting.
Well, I can kind of explain why I brought each one.
I would
I would love
that.
To hear that.
Yeah.
We have Alexa coming on down the hall with some of the pieces for us.
So,
and if you're listening on Spotify, make sure to go over on YouTube and
to see this exclusive, not really exclusive.
So, the first one we're going to look at is very special because I would say it was like the first pattern that like I made, but this is a pattern I wrote and I sell online. It was like the first thing that I had like,
wait, 1 second, you need to be on QVC. I feel like we're on QVC.
Okay,
right.
You put the little Edison with like the boxes.
Yes. Okay, go ahead.
So this is the first pattern that I ever wrote, fully my pattern. After doing a ton of different patterns, I kind of incorporated all of the things that I learned to make my own pattern. It's very boxy, very oversized.
It's gorgeous.
And so yeah, that one's really special to me. And I also love the term flop era. Brooke also made this pattern as well.
made one for Courtney too, right?
Yes, the same silhouette, but hers says cast me. Right. Yeah. But so that one's special.
Gorgeous. We absolutely love this. And this is going to be on sale for about $1,500.
Yes. Okay. I would say I'm mostly known for my sweater vest. I kind of make the same silhouette, but a bunch of different phrases. This one is special because this was the first of its kind, the very first sweater vest I ever made. And it's also the start of my not series. So I have a few that say like not Chanel, not Dior, not Prada.
Not Fendi.
What these is are that?
That's so a nail.
Scary.
Anil is not going to come with your purchase today. We are going to.
Nope. So yeah, that's the first like vest pattern I ever successfully made. I sell the vest pattern. So.
Which will be linked below, of course. So you can buy some and figure out how to knit like a pro.
This one's special because it's just like fun. It's a blue dog.
It's so cute.
I just think it's really cute.
And on the side, it's like just tie sides.
Yeah. It like is open on the side. Like some of those tops that you see.
In the eyes. Mm-hmm. That is gorgeous.
Yeah. I made that one for Mardi Gras when I went last year or this year, I guess.
You are so talented. It's great. Y'all watching this young lady right here. Do her knitting is something like you will be shocked. And then she'll be like, fuck, I have to redo it. And then like she'll have to redo it. And then like it'll
it's
be
done
like,
and it's already
it'll
perfect.
Be done. I'm like, oh, okay. Right. Yes.
Or she'll bring your computer and just is making little patterns.
Grits. Yeah. This one is a new silhouette. I haven't written
obsessed.
It down yet.
So cute.
But yes. I do want to sell this pattern without the words, but just like the normal striped. I love it because it has really long cuffs that like come up like halfway up your forearm.
And Salidor, could I ask a question also about the product?
Mm-hmm.
How long would something like this take maybe a beginner, but also someone like you to like, let's compare.
Okay. The fastest I've ever made a sweater vest was one for Coachella that I made in like two and a half days, but I was doing it nonstop.
Right.
One with sleeves. I say this takes a little bit longer, like a week, but it's also like depends on how much, like if I'm being casual about a vest a week, like, you know, doing
how
it
long
when
do you
I
think
watch
it
TV.
Would take a beginner maybe like if you were in your
I'm trying to think like
stages.
Megan made one but she would also only do it at knitting club.
Yeah. I would say Matt's been making my sweater for about a month now,
right?
But he hasn't been as consistent.
Yeah,
I feel like he totally could have finished it a long time ago. But
I feel like for a beginner, probably like 2 to 3 weeks
if you're doing like it pretty consistently.
Yeah.
This is my favorite one.
Yeah, that one's fun.
I love the different stripes.
Yeah, I just love how thick the ribbing is.
Like that was the boots were really good.
And then this is the bolero that I was talking about that Miss Patricia said.
I love this one.
That one's fun. I need to write that pattern too. I just think that this one's like really trendy, but it's one of my favorites because I'm just really proud of the sleeves. I like did this like whole funky technique. Those are all the things I brought.
I think you've just inspired me, at least. Like,
to knit?
Patricia, I don't
know. Oh, I didn't even notice. Are you sure? I didn't even notice a sparkle.
Mm-hmm. Brooke gave me that yarn.
I feel like we need to do like a show and tell on every podcast that we have because this is so
like
fun.
Get everyone to bring something.
Yes.
Yeah, but I also think you really need to do a live QVC like show on YouTube. And I'm not kidding.
Right. I could. Brooke always tells me to make a TikTok showing everything I've made because she did that one time and her video did well. But I'm just like, I feel like I've shown my shit so often.
It does not matter.
But not in one video.
No.
I guess.
Until now. We'll get you a little video of all of these at least all together.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, I feel it's like it's only right for us to talk a little bit about dating life. Obviously, we've got Miss Engaged here. We've got me kind of never dating here.
Uh-huh.
I feel like you might be the perfect balance for us because you go on dates, you're on the apps, like you're hot and you're single.
Thank you.
So we need to hear
She's
what
single.
It's like.
Single.
Yes. Ladies and gents.
Yeah, dating in LA is interesting. The first person I ever went on a date with in LA was actually a follower.
Wow.
Yeah.
Did you meet him
on?
Yeah, like I think as soon as we matched, I don't know what his first match, but he had said before we even met. But he was cute. He was cute. And it wasn't like a weird thing. It wasn't like, oh, I'm a fan. It was just like, oh, yeah, like I recognize you.
Right.
Yeah. And then the date was the same way. He was just like, yeah, like.
Oh, you're
funny.
Hot as fuck. Like,
which
love you.
I think like, yeah, right. Of course. I think like it can go one or two ways. Like it's like, either that's better because you don't have to tell them, like you don't have to like come out as like a TikToker or whatever, because like that can be like another whole thing.
Your coming out story.
My coming out story. So I think that it has advantages because it's like, okay, well, you already know what I post. Clearly you like me enough to go on a date with me. So like that's good. Like you don't have to like go back.
There's
and cringe.
No, you're not hiding anything like, about.
So I think it's good for that reason. But then I've also gone on dates with people that like literally don't even have a TikTok. Which is also great for its own reasons.
Right.
Yeah.
But yeah, my first date was with a fan. Didn't really go further, but he would text me randomly and then would like, we never really did anything again.
Do you ever like, what was I going to say? Oh, like when you're telling stories about your dates and stuff, like on, TikTok and everything. Have you ever had that have some backlash for you?
No, because I think like when I'm telling stories, it's never like to the detriment of the person. Like I do, I've done videos that are like getting ready for a first date, which I don't think is bad because I haven't even met the person yet. And also me getting ready for a first date isn't about the person I'm about to meet. It's about me going on a first date. It could be anyone. So it's not about you. Like honestly narcissistic for you to think that it's about you because it's about me.
Right.
So I feel like the first date getting ready for those, like, that's never had backlash. There was the last guy I was dating. I had posted something like in literally in my car after I left his place the next morning about like,
ooh, Sally Dar had a slumber party.
Hell yes.
Hell yes, Sally Dar.
I posted something in my car like about, I don't even remember what I said, but something about like about dating when you like reach that point with dating where like you have to like wake up and get on with your day essentially was like the point of the video. Mm-hmm. And like later that day or the next day, he was just like, yeah, I saw your video. And I was like, are you mad? I can take it down because I'm never going to name anyone. First of all, I'm never want to post you, never going to name you like at all. Like, I'm just talking about dating. You're faceless, you're nameless. And he was like, no, it's fine.
You know about it, or the person that you're talking about knows it's them, but no one else knows.
Right. So he was like, no, it's fine. I'm not mad. But I was like, you can tell me if you're mad. He's like, no, it's fine.
Did you go on another date?
Yeah. Okay. Yes. For a little bit longer and then kind of ended things.
Fizzled out.
Yeah. Kind of went ahead and fizzled out.
Yeah. I'm trying to think what other funny date stories I have. There was one guy that I went on like two dates with that on the first date, I had made a TikTok about this and I'm only bringing it up because we were talking about man trimmers to like trim downstairs.
Right.
This man had told me on a first date, he had said, oh, like 10 minutes in, oh, by the way, I have a trimmer. And I was like, because he had mentioned that he watched my TikToks beforehand.
Right.
So I was like, and I had just posted that video.
Right.
Posted a video about using a trimmer on my
lady bits.
Because a lot of girls cooter. A lot of girls were doing that on TikTok. Were being like, I use this like man product on me and whatever. So I like did a video about it. And he had said he watched my TikTok. He had said, oh, by the way, I have a trimmer. So I thought he was referencing a video that I had just posted. And I was like, Oh my God. I'm so embarrassed. I'm so sorry. And then he was like, what? Like, he was so confused. And then he was like, a tremor. And then he held out his hand and he was shaking. And I was
oh my fucking God.
And then he was like, he was being like, oh, I also fucking groom my pubic hair.
Right. No.
Why would he say that? He wasn't. So perfect. I felt stupid. Of course, he was like, wait, what were you saying? I was like, no, don't worry about it.
Yeah. You're like, oh, sorry.
So I don't think he knew. Then I did tell that story on TikTok later, like months and months, like probably 9 months after, because we only went on two dates. So I don't think he ever saw it. So it's not to the detriment of him. Also, it's funny, you know?
It is.
Like,
funny.
If he saw it, he'd probably be like, oh, that's funny.
Yeah, and it kind of would make that conversation make a little bit more sense for him.
Yeah. But he was a sweet boy. Just didn't go further. I'm trying to think what else. I've dated...
to be a fly on the wall.
Oh, you want to know what this... this one's good. There's a boy I dated that I went to high school with, which I wasn't that cool in high school. I was like... I would describe myself as just like approachable, like student council, like... everyone felt like comfortable around me, but I wasn't like the cool boys weren't looking at me. Wasn't sitting with the cool girls, but the cool girls, like, cause I lived in dorms too. So it's like, they would live in my dorm. So like, yeah, they would say hi to me, but I wasn't sitting at their lunch table. I wasn't like going to dances, like with them, taking photos with them. But I also wasn't like the lamest. I was just student council, textbook club type girl. And this boy had messaged me on Twitter like a year or so after I lived here. And had been like, hey, like, I see you live in LA, like, let's get dinner. And this was a boy I was in love with in high school.
Oh.
He was one of the coolest boys. And I was like, holy fuck.
My
like,
God.
I remember showing everyone, because we hadn't known each other. I showed like everyone. I was like, holy fuck, this boy wants to take me on a date. Like, this is like 16-year-old Sally Dar, like wet dream. And so, so dated him for maybe like 2 or 3 months. I can't remember. It just ended. Won't get into the details of that. But I think that's one thing that's crazy about social media. Like, I am not the most important person. I am not that famous. I can walk anywhere and no one's going to recognize me. But it's interesting to see the effect that, like, even a small amount of followers has on someone. Mm-hmm. That I'm like, you literally never looked at me, never talked to me in high school.
But then now all of a sudden you see.
But now you want to talk to me. And now even, like, one of his other friends from high school literally messaged me something on Instagram the other day. I'm like, we did not talk in high school.
Yeah, like, what is it? Like, what?
Yeah, so it's just, like, yeah, like, on one hand... flattering, and of course I did date him, so I kind of like fell into that, but also like, I'm not stupid, like I know what's happening here, like clearly now you think I'm cool enough to talk to,
right?
So
fucked up.
I've also experienced that in LA, like people that suddenly think you're of value.
And then yeah, one day he's
value
be,
to them mainly.
Yeah.
One day he's gonna be buying his wife your
sweaters.
Yeah.
Your sweaters on QVC.
The last guy I dated, we had our like last conversation. That was like our closure conversation.
Your closing argument.
Yeah. Yeah. Which I came with like a list of notes, and he was just sitting there like taking it. I was like, you did this and this. One of the last things I said to him before I like left my house, I was like, well, I hope the next girl that you date's a fan of mine, so you can't get rid of me.
Nice. Damn. Nice.
So fucking annoying. Like, how narcissistic am I?
But I did love when you had that conversation and like you were saying you were gonna go over and like finish it out, get closure. Yeah. Like,
yes,
really.
I left it. I did leave it all out on the table. I don't think there's anything else I would say.
That's
but,
great.
Meanwhile, he probably is like, okay, I don't
all
care.
Right. Yeah.
But that's kind of my dating in LA. I haven't dated in like probably 4-ish months because I'm just not really interested at the
moment.
Well,
I'm just thinking about like my wedding and who I have that's single that's not from here, and then all my single friends from LA.
Single
and I'm
from
like,
here.
I know. And I'm like, I wonder if there's going to be any sort of matchmaking or anybody's going to hook up.
I hope I meet someone
we
at your wedding.
I'm like looking at the list and I'm like,
so well, I mean, we tell Matt all the time. He's like, oh, well, I know someone.
I'm like, and he never follows
never
through.
Sets anyone
never
up.
Never follows through. And he tells multiple people.
Yeah, the worst is when we're at a party and I hear him saying it to someone
it
else. I'm like,
off.
You
I'm
need
like,
to don't listen to him.
Yeah,
he said that to me before too. He hasn't done
he
shit.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm gonna say this is just so funny for me. Never said that to me in my life. He has never offered to set me up with anybody.
Right.
And he offers everyone else.
Right.
Has never said a fucking word
this
to me.
This is weird.
It's kind of weird. So
that's funny. And dating in LA
well,
is
honestly don't. I mean, it's not
oh,
even
yeah,
that flat.
It's
not
for
even
the win.
Yeah. Like
right. I don't know. I feel like dating in LA is not as bad as people say. I just think it's difficult because, yeah, like no one's like ready to like really settle down. Like, I mean, no. You're like, but you've also been dating that for so long. And like where I'm 26, I feel like
we should probably stop like posting videos of us making out.
Yeah.
Right. Well, I should also stop like kind of openly posting like first date and then 2 weeks later, another first date. Like clearly just like going through.
Exactly through.
Yeah. It's like, well, clearly something's not. Like one of my videos, someone was like, yeah, like first date advice. And I was like, okay, well, I don't really know what you're asking because I've been on like 5 in the past 2 months. So.
Right. Yeah. I could give you advice about how to like, you know, get ready for a first date. But,
yeah. But maybe not even that because clearly it's not really sticking.
It's
I don't
them,
know.
Not you.
Dating is fun though. Like we have some friends that like have never been on like a first date or like are scared of apps and like, yes. But you've like, you
I've
know,
dabbled in the apps.
Dabbled.
I've had experiences.
But it's like, you just
dating
have to treat
is
it
fun.
Like a game.
You could say.
Yeah.
Yeah. Me saying that I haven't been on a date in like 4 months because I'm just like so, but I'm not interested in playing the game. But when I am interested in playing the game, Megan's a great example. Megan like mm-hmm. likes
yes.
the game of dating.
Yes.
Like it's fun, you know?
Yeah. Yes.
And
she's good at like just
right.
not being nervous or shy and
right.
just going up to somebody.
Yeah.
And like, I think you're cute. Let's
yeah.
I don't know.
Need to learn from that girl.
Sidar, this has been so much fun.
Well, I just feel like I've talked y'all's ears off.
I've loved it.
All yeah. about me. Like, not, we didn't gossip about anything else, it feels like.
No, it's
well,
so
we'll
fun.
Have to have you back.
And that's like, why we have, like, guests. Like, we want, like, you to talk and you to, like, be
it's your,
here.
It's your time to show.
Right. Well, I can talk for forever. I ask Megan, like, every, like, 5 to 10 business days. I go, do I talk all the time? And she goes, mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay, well, does it ever annoy you? She's like, no, you just talk a lot. I'm like, okay.
Yeah,
well, I mean, that's good. That doesn't, yeah.
Right. Yeah. Open book. You said I'm an open book. Yeah. I'll talk all day about anything.
Well,
yeah.
Other than all the stuff we mentioned earlier about her links being below for knitting patterns and everything like that.
Twitter, YouTube, Instagram, TikTok.
Salidor's a great Twitter follow also.
That's
really
kind.
Could not say enough great things about Miss Salidor Bug. Like, great Twitter follow, great TikTok follow, Instagram, knitting patterns. Like, you can really, you're a one-stop shop.
Yeah, I am.
Dating advice, I don't know. You can definitely
sure
teach people
that.
How to get ready for a first date.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, or how to get rid of the men. I could do that
how
as well.
How to lose a guy in 10 days.
How to lose a guy. Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Yes. Based off me. Well, you guys are so nice. Thank you for having me.
Of course.
Me.
Thank you for coming on. This has
yeah.
been great. And
see y'all next week. Maybe we'll dress up next week for Halloween.
You guys should. Dress as each other.
Yeah, we'll tell you in a second
okay,
what we're thinking
okay.
about doing. But maybe we could do a Halloween episode. We'll see.
Okay,
that'll
yes.
be doing. We'll let y'all know.
Yes.
We'll talk offline.
Yes. Okay, well, we love you. We'll see you next week on mm-hmm. another episode of Grits to Glam.
Bye,
bye,
guys.
It's the Grits.